Psalm 23 in the New King James Bible, a Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah forever. Okay, Psalm 23 here is probably one of the best known of the Psalms, especially if you go outside of the community of the church that tends to sing the Psalms a lot. Psalm 23 is one of them that's used a bunch. Problem is, it's, how should I say it? The beauty, richness, and fullness of the psalm is not properly known among the church, among those who don't see the book of Psalms as we usually do see it. If you remember last week, as you went through Psalm 22, Psalm 22 is a wonderful, rich psalm, one that I regret not having the chance to do up here in the pulpit, because I was going to lead into Psalm 23 a little bit more. But it was a picture of Jesus as he prepared to suffer sacrifice for our sins, as he prepared to rescue us from the death, the judgment, the torment that our sins deserve. And then as he goes through his death, as he goes through that, and then comes out on the other side, it starts out looking forward to it. And then in verse 12, talked about as he was in it. And at the end, we have the rejoicing as salvation was accomplished and salvation was purchased for his people. In Psalm 23, we have kind of a rest. We have a period here moving on from Psalm 22, which was a very active psalm. And here we have a very calm psalm. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever thought about this. As I was meditating, preparing for this psalm, I was struck by something. That the time between Jesus' resurrection and his ascension into heaven was the first time since probably the seventh day of creation that a perfect, glorified human body existed on the earth. With no pain, no taint of sin, no damage caused by the fall, no temptation. It was a time of peace between man and God that the earth hadn't seen for thousands of years. And as I went through this, I saw this is a psalm of rest. The work had been done and accomplished. And the further tasks, the goals, the mission that Jesus had as King of Kings was about to start. And we'll see that next week in Psalm 24, as we see the installation of the King and the ruling of the King of Kings as he subdues all the enemies under his feet. But during this time, we have a rest. We have a pause. And I thought of the book of Hebrews as it says, there is a Sabbath rest that yet waits for the people of God. And this psalm looks to that rest. And resurrection has been done when salvation has been accomplished. And now we see the Lamb of God raised from that condemnation on our sake and living that life of peace with the Father. And we see that he looks to Jehovah as his shepherd and realizes as the perfect man and as the typical man, meaning he's the type that points to all of his people, he shall not want. We see him resting and lying down in green pastures and leading him beside the still waters, leading him in the paths of righteousness for the Father's name's sake. And again, as I think about this, we have again a reflection back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam walked in the presence of God in those green pastures and rested beside the still waters. When God was leading him in the paths of righteousness before sin entered into humanity. And the peace and the communion of the family of man and the presence of God that existed then. And we see in the next section here, the next verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And this is the one who just died and paid for our sin. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And he's looking forward then to the task to come and sees that he did walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And now he's fit and prepared for the next portion of his mission. And then this next one here, we see again, Think for a moment. Here's Jesus. He's done his job of salvation and is about to take up his job again of ruling the creation of God as the King of Kings, as the God-man. And he looks to the Father and says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Now, there had been a table in the presence of the people of God in the temple, but it was walled away from the enemies. There was a separation when the people of God would have the meal with their God on earth, but they were walled away from the world. They were the remnant, protected in the temple and separated, surrounded by a sea of pagans. But now Jesus says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil." And here we have the beginning of his rule as king, as well as Messiah. "My cup runs over." Now the cup in the Old Testament is often used for power, for authority, and for providence. And we see all three given to Jesus here. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Jehovah forever." And after the ascension, he does rule at the right hand of the Father in a real way. Not like we talk about, you know, here in the presence of God, but really in the king, in the courtroom of God as he rules his people as the God-man. And we see again here, and the image that I want us to have is the walls are opening up. Salvation and the rule of God is about to go out to the whole world. The remnant strategy, the remnant situation that existed up to that point has been broken because the power of sin and death are broken. The veil of the temple is torn down. The temple walls are to be ripped down and set very shortly here. As the gospel and the rule of God and the knowledge of the Messiah goes forth to the earth. And in Psalm 24, we see the job start. We see the mission begin. But here, that calm before the storm, if you will, that time of rest and peace between God and man before the rest of the nations of the world, us, are brought back into the family of God. It's a beautiful psalm when you think of it that way. It is, you know, either way you think of it. But think of it in its fullness, in the place of the story of salvation and the rule of God on earth. And here we have that quiet time before the effects of the fall, the falling of the nations away from the true God begins to reverse. And that tiny remnant there in the Middle East, that mustard seed in the garden of humanity, begins to grow forth and take over the earth. And here we are, almost 2,000 years later, celebrating that beginning of the gospel. And it's our job to keep the ball rolling, so to speak. So as we sing this, we'll sing version C, and let's think about our Savior there, in that moment of peace before the Father, as he begins the great task of reclaiming humanity for the Creator God. Psalm 23C.